is the husband goes to the Friday night to take the chicken soup off of his wife, and lo and behold, he take off the chalent. So now we're already up to chashash v'tzicha already. Your wife is about ready to kill you, you know. So I long ago gave a psak that you were allowed to put it back, the chalent back.
It didn't get caught.
No, but you put it down and you had no intention of putting it back. I'll call upon him for two reasons. It's one is a very lomdish reason. Some of my chaverim did that, said I'm being too lomdish. So when I asked the shayla to Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal subsequently, I tell him I just asked him the shayla. So the first thing he started was the lomdis that I tied it to my chaverim. And he agreed the lomdis was sound, and he had an outside, he said it comes down, it's reduced to a certain shayla, and he's machmer in that shayla, but Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is makel in that shayla. And Rav Scheinberg is Mekel in that Shaila. So that's the way I'm noyik. So Amela, he was masking for a lomdish reason, that it's mutter. And secondly, there's a second reason that something that's on the stove and fully cooked, we're assuming it's fully cooked already. If it's not fully cooked, there's nothing to talk about. If it's fully cooked, the Ran Shita is that something that's on the stove when Shabbos begins and it's fully cooked, you can put back, even if you're not Mekayim the conditions. So, and the Rama only says toif to be machmer like the other shittas, not like the Ran. Toif. So, for a shasat chak, you're allowed to be soimach on the Ran shita. That's what comes out. I'll call upon him for two different reasons it's mutter.
That would even be if he took it off and put it down because he didn't know the halacha or he.
Whatever, you didn't, we're assuming you, right? In other words, you're assuming you took something off and you put it down, and you're mistaken. In other words, really. You didn't realize the mitzvahs. In other words, you thought this is the chicken soup, so you put it down to leave it off. It's really the cholent. But you had in mind to keep this pot of food off the fire. But for two different reasons, it's mutter to put it back.
The lomdish reason is that because you only had in mind not to put it back by mistake because it was
out of the pot. Sort of, but it's. I'll talk to you after. I don't want to get involved in it now. The shayla is what das you need. Do you need das to be masalikin or das to put it back? Okay.
Shabbos morning, you take. They chugged off a slow cooker to check to see if there's enough water, less water, whatever,
yeah.
And to do whatever you want to do. I always thought you had to hold on to the.
Chatchili, you have to hold it in your hand. That's what we said last week. There are five conditions.
Here we said
you in a situation of a shasat chak and you put it down by mistake.
Okay, I see.
There's what to, you know.
So if I did what he said, and then I just put it down, but I didn't take my hand off. Right.
Yes, I don't know. I'm not such a fan of that. I'm Bidi Eved, there were Heterim anyhow.
Okay.
If you had in mind to put it back, whatever. But that's not for that.
Better to hold on to.
Yes, yes. Or what you can do, if you have a blech, you can take it out of the crock pot and put it on
the blech.
Not where the fire is. And then you can do what you want and then put it back. And then you have no problem. You don't have to hold it. Uh-huh. Now, we need to focus before we start a discussion of Bishul. Because Bishul is complex. It's not just a simple practical affair. You can produce the same results and be a Mechala Shabbos, and you can produce the same results and be 100% Mutter. There are different types of Yisurim in the Torah. There are types of things, activities, which are morally objectionable. The means by which it's done is really less important than the end result. Like murder is morally objectionable. The Torah doesn't want us to wantonly take someone's life. If I did it with a maisa, with a grumma, at the end of the day, it's all the same. Good. There could be some slight differences in terms of one, you'll get capital punishment, you won't get that. But basically, we violated the isa of taking a human life, chalila, that the revelation doesn't want us to do. The process, this process, that process, does not ameliorate the immorality of what's taking place. When it comes to Melecha Shabbos, the procedure, the format, is critical. And you can do something, the exact same thing, but in two different formats. One guy's a Mechal Shabbos, and one guy's a saint. You know, if you go to Phoenix, Arizona, I was there once. I got there about an hour and a half before Shkia. It was a cool evening. It was between 95 and 99. You know, they tell me whatever that the people that live there, the summer 120 degrees, you know, on a summer day is no big deal there. Kitzahadvarm, You want? Let's first talk with the Raisa, and we'll get to the Dinei Derabanan. The Dinei Derabanan skew this somewhat, but not completely. I like fresh eggs for breakfast. Well, Sheishes Yom Tava, good. That's Sunday to Friday, but what do we do on Shabbos? So, take a metal frying pan. I'll put it outside for an hour in the hot sun. After that, I'll break an egg into it, and in 30 seconds, I'll have a fresh fried egg, no problem. Oh, so, midoraisa, it's 100% butter. Midoraisa, it's 100% butter. We'll see where the Rabbanan came in, and they skewed it somewhat. Midoraisa, it's 100% butter. Why? Because this is not a conventional means of cooking. Now, being non-conventional can have one of two effects. Usually, it has the effect of moving it from a deraisa to a derabanan. Sometimes, it is so considered so unconventional that it goes from osam deraisa to mutter. And chama is that way. Chama is that unconventional that it's clearly that it normally should be mutter. In fact, it does remain mutter. The rabbanan did not geyser in such a case. As the Moshe Zatzal defined it, the difference is it a conventional means of cooking or not? The heat source is not really the issue, but the conventionality of the method. So he was very astute when microwaves first came out. So they wanted to know if microwaves bishul or not. Well, yeah, how do you cook? Not exactly with heat. Yeah, microwaves. It's not a typical fire. So Rav Moshe Zatzal correctly observed, he was astute enough to make the following observation. He said, the method is an efficient method of cooking, one that people will certainly use. When he wrote the tshuva about it, microwaves were for the restaurants and for the wealthy. They were expensive. But he was sophisticated enough to realize that when electronic devices, after a number of years, the prices plummet, right? Now you can buy them for next to nothing, you can buy a microwave. So we said at such time, when it gets within price range, everyone's going to have one, which is 100% what happened in the 30 years probably since he wrote that tshuva. So therefore, that's considered a conventional means of cooking, or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal held the same way. So it's bishul in terms of bosel v'cholo, it's bishul on Shabbos. So the question is if it's conventional or not. Chama is not a conventional means. It's not an efficient means. It's not the means that people typically use to cook, even on a widespread basis, because it's a highly inefficient method. Along came the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan said they have one problem. They're a little queasy here. And that is, if people draw conclusions about what mutter and osur, there's few people in our religion that are b'kiyam and gan shas and all four chelke shulchan aruch. We don't have too many of them. A few and far between. So people tend to observe. And they see what the learned people do. And they have, you know, and that's what they figure is, you know, you're supposed to do. Do what the learned, the guys that know, no, do. So you'll see a guy Shabbos morning. He takes a frying pan. He dumps an egg into it. It sizzles. And in 30 seconds it's hot. And he sits down. He's Hashem Ayid. He sits in the Mizrach. That knows how to learn. So the heat source is no longer identifiable, because all I have is a heated frying pan. I still remember the one my mother, a bit flashy frying pan, mamash, like stainless, you know, real metal stainless. It's hot, holds the heat well. How did it get out? Nobody knows. It's hot. So if someone sees me doing that, they'll decide, listen, they can use toldus ar, meaning they'll heat it on a fire, and they'll take it off the fire, and they'll say, listen, yeah, it's no different. The rabbi was cooking just like this last Shabbos, you know. If it's good for the rabbi, it's good for me. The rabbi's supposed to be frumer than the rest of us. So if he could do it, we certainly could do it. But since the heat source was a flame, not the sun, that's an isa deraisa. So because of the possibility of confusion, the Rabbanan said, told us chama, if something is heated by the sun, and now I'm using the indirect heat of the sun to do it, well, that's not palpably different than using the indirect heat of a fire. So therefore, I made it awesome. But if I take an egg and put it onto a plate or a frying pan that's not heated and just put it right out in the sun, and the sun directly heats it, it's 100% mutter. Allah halamayis, it's mutter. Because why? Rashi says it's not derech bishul. Process is key. Is it similar to what they did in the Mishkan or not? It's not inherently morally objectionable. There's nothing wrong with a fried egg. Just it's the act of making one that could be also sometimes. If it's a different act, it may not be also. It's not the result which is the problem. It's the act of producing that result which is the problem.
Not Basar B'chol of the Raisa?
Basar B'chol of the L'chayra not. L'chayra it's not Bishul. L'chayra, I didn't never thought about it, but Pashtus is not, it wouldn't be Basar B'chol of either. In other words, let's say I made a cheeseburger like that in the sun. L'chayra wouldn't be, it's not Bishul. Right? I heard him talk about Tigun, there's a whole tumul in Tigun. It's Tigun Bishul, not Bishul, it says Lashon Vashel. But L'chayra told us Cham, it's altogether not Bishul. Yeah, it would be also for other reasons. Because of, you can't eat Basar B'chol of together either. That's what the Rabbanim, but the Raisa, L'chayra, you wouldn't get Malkus for it. It's after the fact, once it becomes Osir Bano. But this wouldn't, if it's not Bishul, it's not Osir Bano. Osir to eat it is, but they're Rabbanon, but it's not Osir Deraisa. Now, this issue of how to determine what's Derech Malacha is a very, very essential issue for us in this world that we live in, which is not really, I don't want to explore this too much, I will explore it minimally, because it reflects the notion, and the notion is an important notion, because we will not understand the goings on in Bishul in some regard if we don't have this in focus. We live in an age when it's hard to do anything in the street without being videoed. You know, every time somebody does something, there's a crime or an attempted crime, right? The police go around the neighborhood, and by tomorrow they have and they're posted, you know. And all over the internet, what the guy's picture was, they have him in the act, you know. And then they put out, you know, anybody that knows this guy, APB, you know, calling. And usually they're pretty quick about turning these guys up. Now, if you go in the street normally, it's a halbatzar. In most situations, why? Because usually you can argue it's a psikresha de lo nichale. Lo nichale means even lo ichpista. I don't care about it. Listen, if your security camera works or not, there's no sweat off my back, you know. I don't care. So once it's a psikresha de lo nichale, it's essentially mutter, good. There may be some chash de rabbanim or machmer. Okay, it's done. Then we, you know, we'll figure out how to make it mutter after that. But at least we're well on the way to a heter already. The problem is in a situation where I have a vested interest. Let's say I live in a building which has security. So I want there to normally be security. So I can't come along and say on Shabbos, well, it's Shabbos, I would prefer they don't have it. That doesn't work. You know, the essential security is important to me. So you can't get a step around the problem by arguing that it's secretion of Lonichalik. So now we're in a bind. Maybe I can't even walk into the building in which I live.
Know your particular main video is not Nikolai?
Well, listen, you want security. You want everyone, be, you know. Well, Yosha wasn't buying.
What's the issue of being videoed?
Yeah.
It's some form of ksiva, probably ksiva de rabbanon. Yes.
I didn't actually do anything.
It's a ksiva de rabbanon. Listen, it's the I'll, you know, there are the geniuses in halacha. They see, they understand the processes that they see, and they see the precedents in the halacha today. Let's not talk about digital photography for the moment, but let's talk about conventional photography. What was the issur of taking a picture? Now, after you snapped the picture, there still wasn't a picture. All you did is you made some chemical changes right in the film, which can now you can process and turn into a picture. So, but there's no actual picture there yet. So Rabbi Yosef wrote me a raya that it's ksiva de rabbanon. Because there's a case, you know, when you're a kid, you play around with invisible writing. So they have a case of Meimilin, and the Gemara, it's in Gittin Yutes and Shabbos Kuf something. So basically it's an invisible ksav. By putting something else on it, it brings it out and you can see it. So and the dinner's it's also with the Rabbana.
I was told that anything I see digitally is not Hashem's name, I can just delete the file.
Yeah, that's the electrical may not be ksiva. What the manipulation of the electricity for a positive purpose is also some type of isur, whatever that is. That's, you know, a huge discussion in its own right. There are six different shitas at least on what it is. It's true. It's not actually, until you print it out, it's not actually ksiva. And because there is nothing, you know, solid there. It's just a bunch of pixels or electrical things. So the issue is, but manipulating the picture, the electricity is also an isa. So how are we going to live in this world? So it's interesting. In Hilchos Sefer Torah, there's a Taz. Yoshev mentioned this to me, and the Taz talks about the fact he wants to know if print is derech ksiva or not. Printing press. Now, when their printing press was worked the opposite of conventional writing in the Mishkan. The conventional writing, you take a ink and you put ink on paper. They had typeset, and then they pressed the paper against the typeset, and that's how it was printed. So the Taz brings a shita that this is not considered derech ksiva, even though it's the conventional means of printing, because it's dissimilar to the way it was done in the Mishkan. So Rabbi Yoshev, that's how he used this, is one of his means of starting to get moving on these shaylas of finding a heter for all of these electronics going on around us, that we should be able to halachically to survive them. So the issue of how to define derech malacha, and that since he said, even if whatever it is, but this is not the key, you know, walking in front of something is not the conventional means of how you do whatever malacha you're doing, but this is not exactly in the Mishkan, they didn't have such a type of format. So you could argue it's not a derisa based on that. So then he started whatever, then he started to move. But this is where he started off. So the principle of not derech malacha is a far reaching principle which is extremely consequential in the world in which we live. You know, I tell people, and the reality is, there are only a few Shabbos a year where I'm absolutely Shomer Shabbos, and that's when I'm in the country. Because there's no video cameras, nobody, I don't go out any place, I don't need any, heterim, everything is 100%, you know, above board. Here, if I walk in the street, I need a heterim, I have to tell you, this guy down my block has his lights that go on when I pass by, you know. Now, just as an aside, which is important, that if you have... So really, lechatchila, you should close such automatic devices. Leave the lights on totally on Shabbos. Now, next day, let's say you have your next door neighbor has one on Shabbos. So the best heter really is to put your own light on. Once your own light is on, so then it's a situation of the lonichala. You don't gain anything from his light because you have enough of your own light. If it's dark, so you really gain from seeing where you're going. But if you put your own light on in front of the house, so you don't need his light. So then you're back to obsecration, and then you're in good shape. So that's just an eitzah. If you have a next door neighbor that keeps his thing on, so make sure that your lights are on for Shabbos outside for Friday night.
Across the street to avoid his motion detector?
You know, there was some that happens to be they sit in the palms at Salal that you didn't have to avoid it. But it's clear to me that Rabbi Yoshev did not held the chatchila, you should avoid it. All the tumult he made in Yerushalayim, about he wanted changes made in the security system in the old city. People didn't realize this. Because of this conversation I had with them, I realized this was all because l'chadchila, he wanted something better than this. This is what he could live with the b'di'evit. But for the l'chadchilas, he had a higher bar. And that's what he was lobbying for years in Yerushalayim, that they should make adjustments in the security system so that it should be at a level that he held was l'chadchila. Okay, now, the reason that I get involved in this issue of what's derech malacha, not derech malacha, because I think that without this, lo matzono yodeinu v'ragleinu, and even in beginning to understand what bishul is about, we have an anomaly which is very strange, and this is the only type of approach that I could have which sort of gives rhyme or reason to it. It's like, if you like it, I take the credit for it. If you don't like it, I still take the credit for it. You know, the address is mine. I can't exactly blame it on anyone else. The issue is the following. What we find, let's deal with what we find in the Gemara. In the Gemara we find there's a Kli Rishon, in the Gemara we find there's a Kli Sheni. Klibishin means the pot which is exposed to the heat in which the item was cooked. Klisheni is what it's transferred to afterwards. Okay, right now, let's deal with liquids, not deal with solids yet. Solids have their own complications, which will come to. Let's stick with liquids. So I have a pot of soup, that's a klirishin. I pour it into a soup tureen, that's a klisheni. Now, what is the status of these vis-a-vis cooking is concerned? So basically, we find that a klirishin is quite versatile, that it basically cooks raw things on the fire, or even if it's off the fire already, as long as it's yatzo lettuce, yatzo lettuce means my hand would spring back. We'll come back to define that term later on. But as long as it's yatzo lettuce, it has the ability to be mevashel. The Gemara says the meat of a steer, a shah, or an axe, that needs klirishin that's on the yesh. You know, other than that, it won't actually cook off the yesh type. But that's the exception. Basically, what we find in Shas that a klisheni does not cook. And the Gemara indicates there are some unusual cases where it could be that a klisheni, one on the other, a klisheni could actually have some effect. Okay. So what ought to come out is that basically a klirishon is osa, and a klisheni is mutter. Now, it doesn't come out that way. But before we get to that, examining why it doesn't come out that way, but first let's consider something else. And that is this, how shall we say, a scientific anomaly here taking place, which is, I can have a klirishon, which is above yatzo lettuce. Okay, let's say it's 160 degrees. Pick a number. And we say, well, that cooks. Okay, reasonable enough. I don't have a problem with that. Now I'll bring you a cliche you have, which is at 180 degrees. What's the din? So, pashtus in the Gemara doesn't cook. We'll see, whatever, as I say, we'll see how the halacha l'maisa comes out. The halacha l'maisa has a couple of strange twists along the way. But, so how could that be? I have my klirishon is 160 and it's cooking. I have a klisheni that's 180 and it's not cooking. What's the pshat? It's a good kasha. Now Tosis even asks, what's the difference between a klirishon and a klisheni? So he says, well, the klisheni is the walls of the vessel are not heated, so they absorb heat, so it loses heat through the walls. Whereas the klirishon has hot walls, so you don't have the same heat transfer. Still, but it still doesn't deal with the scientific anomaly of the situation. So this is a very good kasha. And it's a kasha which basically puzzles anyone that learns the halachas and learns the mesechta. So I believe the resolution of this lies in what I pointed out to you before. The shaila is, how similar is this process to the process they would have used in the Mishkan? So klirishon was the typical process. Maybe if they had something which was unusually easy, they might even cook it in a klisheni. But it has to be doima to the method qualitatively. It was similar. You have to use something which is qualitatively similar to what they used in the Mishkan. Klisheni is a different mitzvah. So Mamela, it's not in the realm of Bishul. Bishul, it's not. That's what I believe. Without that, I don't know how to begin to resolve this issue. Now, what happens here is the following. So we're on the way to a grand het that a klisheni is mutter. But life doesn't always work out on a grand scale. Along came some rishonim, a minority of rishonim, but they impressed the Shulchan Aruch enough that the Shulchan Aruch was machmer like that. So they introduced the following notion. That there's a notion, I shouldn't say this, I don't know if it's a minority, it probably is, but they introduced the following notion. There's an idea of Kali HaBishl. Means things which cook very easily. Now, so they said, well, if it's a thing that cooks easily, then a klisheni is as good as a klirishon to cook it. And I guess they probably mean that the derech people would use a klisheni to cook it too. So, listen, in our case, you might take, for example, you might argue a tea bag is Kali HaBishl. Right? Typically, when they use a clay bag, usually, almost always in a klisheni, rarely in a klirishon. I don't know, maybe in England, you know, they have different hasagas, but, you know, An Ara Sog is here, you put a tea bag in a cliche, whether you put it in a teapot, whether you put it in a cup or hot water, but a tea bag you always put in a cliche. So we could arguably say that's the derech of how, you know, you cook a tea bag. If they had a tea, if they had to cook something like a tea bag in the Mishkan, they also would have cooked it in a cliche. What? The dyes were in Klirishan. The natural dyes are you take varied berries and skins of varied fruits and you cook them. And you boil them and boil them and boil them until the color leaches out. And then you boil them more until it gets thick. And then you put in the things you want to dye and you cook them some more until they get absorbed. And then you take it out. But if they had to cook something which was from Kalei Abishal, they would have cooked it in a cliche too. They wouldn't have to use up space on the fire. You know, space on the fire is limited. So if you cook up the water and that's enough and you can put this thing in water off the fire, so you put it off and you put the next thing on the fire. Life goes on. So this step was accepted lahalocha. Now once this step was accepted lahalocha, then we were in deep trouble. Because essentially it seems from the Gemara that basically a cliche is mutter. But there's some exceptions. The problem is, well, if there are exceptions, how do you define the exceptions? What is Kali Abishal, what's not? So this became a black hole, basically. You know, it's an unknown, it swallows everything up. So maybe everything in the world, everything you can think of, maybe it's Kali Abishal, maybe. Because we don't really have an objective means of measuring what's Kali Abishal. So what happened? So now we said like this. So between the halacha being that mitzara din a klisheni is mutter, so the halacha the ma'isa became a klisheni is osur, except if we can prove that it's mutter. So we only have a few things that we can prove a mutter. We said steer meat we can prove is mutter, and water we know is mutter, and oil is mutter, and spices are mutter. Those three things are spelled out in the Gemara and Shabbos that they don't get cooked in a klisheni.
What was the first one?
Water. Water, oil, and spices. So basically we can went full cycle. So we started off, everything is potentially mutter. Once we introduced the idea that there are some things which are kalei abishal, are cooked readily, so the things which are readily cooked are abishal. Then they decided that we don't really have an objective means of determining what's kalei abishal, so the only thing we could be matter are the things which the Gemara specifically said can't cook in a cliche. So, as I said, now we're left sort of in an understanding sense, almost in limbo. You know, in other words, we can't really have no means of putting our arms around it to define clearly. But the halacha of the ma'isa, this is the format that it takes. So we have kli sheni. Now, then we had the Shulchan Aruch went another step now. If we ended at this point, no, this is enough. But we didn't end at this point. We went further. Said the following. How do we cook in this world? So the answer is with two different methods, right? Wet heat and dry heat. So wet heat we call cooking. You take spaghetti, you put it in a pot with water, you take corn, you boil it, and that's one means of cooking. Then we use dry heat, or we call baking or roasting. So you can take a piece of meat and put it in the oven and roast it. What happens if I interchange those two methods? In other words, the first time around I use dry heat, and the second time around I'm going to use wet heat. What's the
difference?
So we say normally, the halacha says the following, that ein bishul achar bishul. At least by salads, you can't cook something twice. However, if I change the method by which I cooked, I went from a dry heat to a wet heat, can I take a piece of challah and put it into a klirishan, even off the fire? The answer is no. Can I put it into a klisheni? The answer is no. Even by a klisheni, they're machmer. Because they say, well, maybe this is considered like a kalei habishal thing, and therefore it'll cook even in the klisheni. So from hypothetically everything being mutter, we come out to the halacha of the ma'isis, almost everything is osur.
So
if
you should stay after bishul and yesh, everything after bishul except
bishul. Yes. In other words, if you switch the word dry heat, wet heat, you're in trouble. Yes.
Yes. So when you're at a shiv, so if you have a piece of cake, you should
sour. You should have put it on the same plate as the shoulder.
That's true, but we didn't get to that yet. Why that's true. And it may not necessarily be true. As we'll see in a minute. But the question's a good question. But we will come to that soon. In other words, can you put the salad maybe you shouldn't put. We'll see that you shouldn't put together with the cholent. And the cake probably you could put together with the cholent. Well, we'll see. Let's wait. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Now, Kli Shlishi is not discussed in Shas. Notably absent. So, as we are Jews, there's never anything in history that had one opinion to it. It hasn't happened. You know, not since the Rabbeinu Shalom spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, but since then. So, there are two takes on why Shas doesn't discuss Kli Shlishi. There's the take of the Prichodesh and the Chassam Sofer, and principally, in theory, the Chazon Ish is certainly in agreement with them, that, you know why we don't discuss Kli Shlishi? Because it's irrelevant. The reality of the halacha is there are Kli Rishons and non-Kli Rishons, and all non-Kli Rishons are the same. Whatever one could do, anyone could do, any other one could do. As long as it's Yatzo Ledespo, whatever it can affect, it affects. Whatever it can't affect, Shalom Al Yisrael. 6th, 2nd, 3rd, 16th, 20th, 1000th, it makes no difference. If it's Yatzo Ledes, it's all the same. That's their particular view. The Prima Godim took the opposite view. You know why it doesn't discuss Kli Shlishi at all? Because Kli Shlishi is totally out of the parasha of Bishlam. No shaychus to Bishlam. End of discussion. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal held the Paskin like the Prima Godim. That was his view. So there we have the issue of Kli Shlishi. If you pass like the Prima Godin or a Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, so you can put a Tibek into a Kli Shlishi on Shabbos. If you pass like the Chazon Ish, the Chassam Sofer, and the Prichodesh, you can't do such a thing. So let's leave that for the moment. Now let's fill in the gap somewhere else. So far we've talked about a Kli Rishon, a Kli Sheini, a Kli Shlishi. What happens as I'm pouring what we call Iru Kli Rishon? I'm pouring from the Kli Rishon. And the stream of liquid coming from the Kli Rishon hits something along the way. Does that make for Bishul or not? Now this initially, it's very interesting. Did you ever read The Plumber from Empire Chickens? You got to read it. You missed a good one. In the back of The Plumber, it says it's processed with water which is less than 70 degrees Fahrenheit. I haven't seen one in quite a while, but at least when years back when I used to look at them, that's what it said. That's what The Plumber said. Oh. Now, what was that all about? What this was all about was the following. There was a machlekes 1,000 years ago between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, a family machlekes. The machlekes, the Shem Shemayim. So, what was the machloikas? Their machloikas centered around the issue of cleaning chickens after shechita. Now, how do you defeather a chicken? The best way to defeather a chicken is very simple. You dump a lot of hot water on it, it causes the pores to expand, and then you can get the feathers out. And you have a nice clean chicken. And that's the way the whole non-Jewish world defeathers chickens. So, between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, they emerged the machlokes if this practice is permissible halachically or not. What's the issue? The issue is, if you do bishul before malicha, before you salt the meat, then you can never do malicha afterwards, and the meat is treif. So does this pouring of the water, does this effectuate some measure of bishul on the meat, and therefore that part of the meat which is hit by it will be treif? because he can't, he will not be able to salt it afterwards. Or it has no effect in terms of bishul, and you can do malicha afterwards. So this was a machlekes, it's called molgen oifus, maligas oifus, and this was a machlekes between the Rabbeinu Tam, was machmer in the shayla, and the Rashbam was meikel. Now the truth is, we were not really ever 100% machria in the shayla who's right. So basically what we do is we go to chumrah. Pretty much, you know, across the board in the Shulchan Aruch. Whichever tzad is the tzad, the chumrah is the tzad we take. So we have the issue. So Rabbeinu Tam says, pouring from a kli rishon cooks. Yeah, it doesn't cook through and through, but it cooks a thin outer layer. It doesn't get cooked by it. The Rashbam says it has no effect. Then it carries over. Now we have the same shaila in Hilchos Shabbos. Can I pour from a kli rishon onto something which was uncooked? Or I can't. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's Osir. According to the Rashbam, it's Mutter. So this is Iri Kli Rishon. Now let's go one more step. And what happens if I have Iri Kli Sheni? It means I have water in a Kli Sheni and I pour it out of a Kli Sheni. What's the din? So there the Prima Godim writes that Iri Kli Sheni has a din of Kli Shlishi. And that it's not worse than a kli shlishi. So whatever would be mutter in a kli shlishi, according to him, is mutter by iri kli sheni. Wouldn't make any difference. Yeah. Now, what clearly agreed is the following in all of this. Let's deal with what's clearly agreed. What's clearly agreed is that if I deal with in a kli shlishi, I don't have to adopt chumras. So, for example, he said I shouldn't put a piece of challah into a kli sheni. In a kli shlishi, I could put a piece of challah. Why? Because we have the view of the Prima Godim that there's no bishul in the first place. And generally, the general school of thought in Rishonim is that this is a chumrah. They assume that this bishul after tzli or after afia. So therefore, we don't take it to that level. At that level, even the Chofetz Chaim and Zatzal signed off that it's mutter. Kli shlishi without that is b'machleik shnuya, and there's all different, you know, practices depending what community you're part of, what they do and what the rav holds. But this is an open, you know, halacha question. So we have now on Shabbos kli rishon, iri kli rishon, kli sheni, iri kli sheni, kli shlishi, those three. Now let's put one more issue in. Morris says in Shabbos and of Kufmeim Hayam at base that Bishul is embedded in the Constitution. No double jeopardy. Ain't Bishul Acha Bishul. If you cook something once, you can't be over Bishul a second time on the same thing. Now, what's agreed to is that applies to salads. And that's very simple. The logic of that is very elegant. Once you cook something solid, you take a piece of chicken, a piece of meat, a potato, it's cooked. You can freeze it, you can make it cold, but it's never raw again. Cooked it is. So that's why we say, "Ein bishul acha bishul." Like you can now, by liquids, you boil the kettle. What happens after you close the kettle? Half an hour later? Perceptively, you're back to where you were before. Maybe minus a little bit of bacteria, but other than that, you're back to where you were before. Nothing changed. So it would seem to be that the bishul is undone. There's no remnant of the bishul that was done. So why should it be that is ain't bishul acha bishul?
Pasteurizing doesn't make a chemical change in the...
Well, it makes it out. You kill the bacteria. That's it. Because whatever, so you took something, you filtered it, so it's now filtered water, right? You, whatever, you took somebody out, you took somebody, There's maybe some of the elements that are in there, so were driven out. What changed? What changed? So l'chayra, this is the argument of those, and this is the mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this, that by solid, this ain't bishul acha bishul, and a liquid that cooled down to less than yatzoled, this is yesh bishul acha bishul. Now, what you need to understand is the following. You take a soup, for example. So a soup really has, well, we take a vegetable soup. So a soup really has two things. When you cook it, you dissolve a lot of the solids into the liquid. Now the solids are cooked, and what's dissolved got cooked. It's never going to be raw again. The liquid in it may cool off. That's true. But what's cooked is cooked. It's not raw again. So this is the view of the Mechab. Now, this is an intramural fight amongst Sfardim. Because even the Ashkenazi view is a Sfardish view. It's not an Ashkenazi view in this case. So here we have the Magid Mishnah quoting the Rashba. Two card-carrying Sfardim. Gdolei HaRishonim. And the Rashba says that Ein Bishul Acha Bishul applies to liquid. That's it. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. It's carte blanche. It's across the board. So here's one of the halachic imponderables to try to figure out a reason for this shita, what it holds. Okay. So it's a halachic imponderable. So this is the way the Ramah paskens. Now we'll see again. The Ramah skews it a little bit. We'll come back to that in a moment. Now, if one's a strict adherent of the Vilna Gaon, so the Vilna Gaon said when it comes to this halacha, he says it's a sveik of the dinner. He says he did not find concrete proof to determine which shita was correct. So according to the Gro, it remains a sveik of the dinner. The dinner. It's a suffik in halacha. Now, the implication of that is the following, and this is because we have, practically speaking, between Sfardim and Ashkenazim, what's the practical difference? Because the practical difference is the following. We Ashkenazim, for a reason that I don't think I'm going to have time to go into today, the Ramah tells us the Ramah created his own Shita. And the Ramah said that we practice Ein Bishul Acha Bishul as long as it's still warm, the liquid. If the liquid is less than Yatzoledes, means my hand wouldn't jump back from it, and it's still warm, so there's no Bishul Acha Bishul. So what happens if you put up the food Friday night on the blech and the kettle with the water or some other liquid is downtown? So by the time you clear up room by the fire to get it close to the fire, it's not Yatzoledes anymore. So if you're an Ashkenazi, as long as it's still considered warm water, you can put it back, assuming it was fully cooked before Shabbos, you can put it back onto the fire. And it'll take 15-20 minutes, so it'll get steaming hot again, and you'll have yourself a hot cup of kumari. If you're a Sfardi, and you do that, you're a Mechal Shabbos. So that's the difference between the two shitas. So if you're either to be machmer like to grow those that follow the goyim, or if you're a Sfardi, you have to make sure that you have enough heat on the blech that the liquids that are going to stay at Yatzoledes. Major issue.
Definition is still warm.
You would say it's warm. When you drink it, you would say it's warm. You'd say it's warm water. It doesn't have to be. It could be slightly above room temperature, but you wouldn't call it warm anymore. Something that you'd consider warm. So, the Ramah, as I said, this... Now, the Ramah came along. Why the Ramah did this? And the Ramah said that... Why the Ramah said that it has to be still warm, and that's not like either. The Magid Mishnah allowed it even if it got cold. There's no Bishul Acha Bishul. So there are, let me just give you one simple case where it's relevant, really, the Magid Mishnah's din. Let's say you drank a cup of coffee on Shabbos. Finished the cup of coffee. It's early, you're learning a while. Half an hour later, you decide you want another cup of coffee. So you have to wipe the cup clean, dry. So it's interesting that I found both in Litvish's form and Chassidish's form that it's mutter.
Exactly.
Without drawing it. The Klosenberger Rebbe Zatzal wrote a lengthy tshuva, I don't know how many pages long, endless tshuva. You know, arguing all types of reasons why it's mutter. And, you know, and if you had a tea, you can, you know, make another tea. And first it was made that, you know, goine oilam, you know, one day like this. And then he goes like a million pages long why they did it. But the din, he had no doubt what the din was before he started. Ramesha Zatzal also held that this was the din. So Ramesha followed the following formulation. He said, when is it mutter? Assuming that the amount of liquid that you have is a very small amount of liquid. Meaning to say the following. If I left that liquid stayed cold, it wouldn't get hot. In the context of a whole cup of coffee, the few drops that are cold would be irrelevant. I wouldn't care anyhow. So then, in effect, what do I have is a psikration lo nichol. I don't really care if the drops get hot or not. And with the rice, and certainly with tzaraim ikra, the dinner, there's no bishul. Because the Rajba said there's no bishul acha bishul. So maybe it's mutter, end of discussion. That's where Rav Moshe, you know, went with this. So in other words, he incorporated the Magid Mishnah, that there's no bishul acha bishul me'ikra din by a liquid. And since it's a case of secretion de lo nicholei, so that's enough to be makel. So that was Rav Moshe's formulation. We'll hold it at this point.
So that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. But if the water was a substantial amount of water, then you want it to get warm, or it was water which is uncooked, like from a wash cup, then you have to dry it.
Yeah, but the water on the chicken, was that Hadachah Rishon or Hadachah Shnia that you had on the
70th?
Where? We were discussing the chicken, so it occurred to me, good, rinse it off Hadachah Rishon, salt it, now pour the hot water on it.
Well, told the malichas finished.
What?
You can't do the malicha with the feathers on.
Oh, I can't do the malicha with the feathers. So that means I've got to do my Hadachah Rishon.